Today's gospel reading is from the sixth chapter of John. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My mic will not stay on my ear, so I'm going to talk from here. All right. This joke is blamed on a church member, so it's not... she sent it to me, that's all I'm going to say, so you have to blame her today. Did you hear about the guy who invented the door knocker? He won the Nobel Prize. Yeah, that was a good one. That's just what I thought you'd all say. So, you know, I have my friends that I always hang out with, and you hear about them. So my agnostic friend that I've mentioned before, Dave, who has been here a couple of times, we were having dinner together, and we started talking about Paul Harvey. Remember, we were just talking about old songs. Remember Paul Harvey? Who has never heard of Paul Harvey? I mean, if you're below 30, it's okay if you don't know. But looks like most everybody. So you remember, you know, this is Paul Harvey, you know. Do you know the rest of the story? I can't. My friend Dave, I almost was going to say, let me write a sermon out for you and you do it, because he does it, I mean, a dead on. And maybe someday that will happen. But I remember Paul Harvey when I was growing up. Camano Island, there were no barbershops, so I went to Stanwood, which is where I went to school as well. And I would always go to this barbershop, and it was like Bob or Dave's barbershop with the barber pole. And Paul Harvey would, inevitably, Paul Harvey would come on. And, you know, his voice is so, you know. And he would say, "Page one," you know, when he was talking about the news. And then page two would be an ad for, he would read an ad, but it felt like a news story because of his voice and his gravitas. And then of course, there would be the segments, which I listened to one last night, where he would talk about a person and this life and a guy named Lewis, who became a boxer, but he came a boxer against the wishes of his parents. And one day his parents confronted him, and he had changed his name to Lewis King, and his parents said, "You shouldn't be boxing," and said, "You're right, I am a bad man." And he had in school been told to write that I'm a bad boy, because he was kind of naughty in school. But eventually this Lewis became Lewis Costello of Abbott and Costello. You know, and that's how that would get you, the rest of the story. And now you know the rest of the story. So that's how it is with this gospel text today. There is the rest of this story. So first of all, you know, we had Woody Bozak's memorial service here yesterday. Some of you were here for that. And one of the things that was mentioned was even the last part of his, you know, he was 90 when he died. He was going to be 91 in a month. And but a couple weeks ago, the last time he golfed, he got an 88. That's a good score when you're 90. An 88. And it just so happened that he had a graveside service on Friday, and I golfed on Friday after that, and my score was an 88. So I thought, after his memorial service here, well, I better go golfing again, because I'm sure I'm going to get another Woody blessing, so let's see what happens. So I go over to Tumwater, golf course over there, and there's this big brew fest thing going. Hundreds of people all drinking, playing games, having fun on the practice tee. But, you know, and there was music going, and it's like, well, not many people are golfing. So I go golf, and I had a great time. I golfed in 85, which is my best ever. So Woody was with me. It was a great experience. But if you're going to golf with me, you know, and there were two other guys that golf with me, pretty soon we're going to start talking about stuff, because you're not going to spend 4 hours with me and we're not going to just be silent, because this isn't a monastery. And in between, you know, you got to walk to different places. So I got to know these guys, and we were on about the 16th hole, and I don't know if you saw the sun, but it was blazing apocalyptic orange. And so we talk about apocalypse. Someone brought that up. And so, you know, it's probably not typical for you, but at least for me, we started talking about apocalypse and prayer and church and life and all that stuff. And I told them, you know, with golfing, with sports, cards, and fishing, those are three things that prayer does not matter. Three things that don't help with prayer: sports, cards, fishing. However, I came up with this: our God-given efforts may not always be God-driven. And that's a golf pun, by the way. God-driven. Get that? Because a drive in golf. Gail, I know that was a good one. But our God-given efforts may not always be God-driven. God wants us to do stuff, but the stuff we do may not always be God-driven, which gets to this text. So in this text, Jesus has been talking, and we've heard this for several weeks now because it's a long passage of John. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And finally, at the end of this section, at the end of what I just read, what does Peter say? He says, after everybody's been abandoned and there's just 12 left with him, Jesus turns and says, well, what do you think? Is this true? And Peter says, yeah, he confesses. Yes, it's true. You are the bread of life. The words of life come from you. It's true. And you think, yeah, Peter's a hero. He's got it. He has faith. He believes. I would suggest that faith is believing in a God who chooses us, because now we're going to move to page 2. Page 2 is the next two verses, 70 and 71 of John, because the next thing Jesus says to Peter, after Peter says, you have the words of eternal life, Jesus says, but I chose you. I chose you. And that is our God. Our God is a God who chooses us and is always choosing us and is always seeking us and looking for us and wants God's love to be poured upon us in the way that baptism today, hopefully all of you got a little bit of baptism poured upon you. That's God choosing us, wanting us, desiring us. I choose you, Jesus says. Then we get to page 3. So Peter makes this great confession. You have the words of eternal life. But then, in chapter 15, as predicted earlier, what happens to Peter when Jesus is taken to the courts and is eventually going to be crucified? Someone comes to him and they say, you're with this guy, right? And he says, no. And then the second time, you're with this guy, right? And he says, no. And then a third time, you're with this guy, right? You're the guy who said he has the words of eternal life, right? And Peter says, no. And then the cock crows, and he's failed. And if you're an internet person, epic fail. Probably like just about every one of us who tries to be faithful, we're gonna fail. Maybe daily. I know I do daily. If I wake up and I'm in a grumpy mood, well, I've failed already. But that's why we remember our baptism. And that's why we have a faith in a God who chooses us. Because God knows who we are. God knows God's children. We can do great things, and we can have epic failures. And it can be on the same day, the same hour, the same minute. Page 4. Jesus has been tried, he's died, and then in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, we get to celebrate what we celebrate usually at the end of March or beginning of April. Easter, resurrection, there's hope. Even though we fail and fail in an epic manner, God says, still, I choose you. Now, when I was looking up, what's something I could read about choosing, God choosing us? So I came to the great Lutheran theologian Rick Warren, who he's really not Lutheran. However, in this particular thing, he's as Lutheran as they become. And I like Rick Warren. I like a lot of what he does. We agree somewhat theologically on some things, but this is what he says. God says your salvation is no accident. He chose you long before you chose him. He took the initiative. The Good News translation puts it this way. You were chosen according to the purposes of God. Why would God choose you or me to be a part of his family? Because he is a God of love. He is a God of grace. The more you understand grace, the more you're going to be amazed by it. God chose you. Did you deserve it? Not a chance. Do you deserve to go to heaven? No way. Are you good enough to be in God's family? No. He just chose you. And that's good news. On what basis did he choose you? 1 Peter 1:3 says, for it is his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again so that now we are members of God's own family. God chose you based on his mercy, not your performance. You'll never earn it. You'll never deserve it. You couldn't work hard enough for it. You couldn't be perfect enough. It's only because of God's grace and mercy that the creator of the universe says, I want you in my family. If that doesn't encourage you, you'd better check your pulse. I like that. I like that. God chose us. As an adopted person and growing up with my mom, I know what that feels like to be chosen. When you learn that you're adopted, and this person has cared for you like this, and loved you, and nurtured you, and knows who the naughty boy you can sometimes be. Nevertheless, she chose me. And it's the same with our God. So Peter's confession, when he says, you have the words of eternal life, that's a great thing. And when you know that, that's what believing is in the Gospel of John. Believing, having faith, is seeing. It's not seeing is believing. When I see it, I'll believe it. It's when you see it, I mean, when you believe it, when you put on those glasses and you know, I'm a chosen person of God, everything is clear. And then you know, yeah, I should love. Because God is a God of love. That's Paul's text. It's going to be hard to love, but know that you're chosen by God and put all the stuff you've got on, because you might have a great drive, because that's what I did on that first hole. Earth, Wind, and Fire was playing at the Fest, my favorite group of all time, and I'm thinking, and the two guys are, I was the third guy, and you know, if you're this guy, always the single guy who comes up to the two guys, you know, it's like you're the third wheel, and you come up and it's like, oh boy, and I hit it. It's the best drive I've ever had in my life. Woody had my back on that one. Earth, Wind, and Fire. And our God gives us efforts that may not always be God-driven, but that drive was God-driven for sure. But I could celebrate that, because just like in golf, it doesn't matter, you know. In the end, we get to play golf. And in the end, we have this gift of knowing that we are chosen, that God chooses us and reminds us again and again, and when we eat our meal again, and when we have a baptism and then are reminded of our baptism again and again, God chooses us. And that's the rest of the story. Amen.